Good evening, everyone. This is N2NOV with the shortwave and scanner listeners net. We're going to stand by for any emergency or priority traffic before we continue with the net this evening.
K2KEG disconnected.
Okay, good evening, everyone. This is N2NOV. The name is Charles from Staten Island in New York City. I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net. Heard on the N2ROW linked repeater system every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. We cover all the frequencies that you tune into from DC all the way up to light and everything else in between, except for amateur radio. And that's because we can talk about amateur radio topics at any other time during the week. In fact, there are three other nets on this repeater system during the week. Monday nights at 8:30, Thursdays at 8, and Saturday evening there's a Skywarn coordinators net. So there's plenty of opportunities to talk about that at any other time. On this net, we'll talk about what you can tune into on the other frequencies, whether it be AM broadcast, FM broadcast, shortwave, anything you could listen to on a scanner, aircraft, ships, local law enforcement, fire, satellites, all the other things that are out there. What you would need to tune in those various signals, and where you can find information in print and on the internet. We have some basic information for this net. One, you should be using the list of repeaters at www.n2row.net. Find the one that's closest to where you are and use that one to ensure your best possible signal into the system. Because it is a linked repeater system with over a dozen repeaters tied together, when you key up, please pause for a second before you start talking, otherwise the beginning part of your transmission will get cut off. For those who are checking in on the air, please give your call sign, name, and location. And please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. And by traffic, we're talking about any comments or questions pertaining to the radio monitoring hobby. If you're not able to get in on the air, either because of technical problems, you're too far away, or you may not be a licensed amateur radio operator yet, you can still participate by using our email address, which is nydxa@yahoo.com. At this point, we'll stand by for check-ins. Please space it out. This way, everybody gets in, and nobody gets stepped on. This is M12A.
C2QKS,
this is Kilo Charlie 2, Uniform Delta Juliet. Name here is Tom, supporting the net, no traffic.
C2JLW, Gordon in Manhattan, no traffic.
Okay, Z, Ken in Cranford, no traffic.
Use our email address, nydxa@yahoo.com. let's start with the list as we have it here, and we'll pick up additionals later on. First off, Bob, if you can go check the email, see if anybody's checking in that way. First one we had on the list tonight, KC2QKS. Good evening, Frank. Did you have any traffic to the net?
QKS here. No traffic tonight, Charlie. Just trying out my headset to see how it works out. And I'll do a lot of listening. Thanks for listening. Be part of it. Bye. I'll be listening in.
Okay, Frank. All right. Over the past couple weeks, there have been some meetings regarding the digital radio consortium over in Europe, and there have been some announcements recently of other companies who are coming out with circuit boards to be inserted in radios that will actually do decoding of the digital radio standard called DRM, which is being used on shortwave and some of the AM broadcast stations around the world. Even now into the long wave band, 252 kilohertz in Ireland uses DRM in the evening times. So, with more and more equipment manufacturers and component manufacturers coming out with equipment that would be useful for this, I think we're slowly getting past the chicken versus the egg syndrome, where nobody wants to really go first. So, latest indications, of course, we've always had rumors in the past, but looks a little bit more likely that we will be seeing competitively priced equipment on the market by the end of the year. Now, of course, if you are a true radio experimenter, you can pick up a little circuit board on the internet. If Mark is on the air, I believe the call sign of the gentleman is IK5WW, something like that. In Italy, he makes this little circuit board about the size of a book of matches that you tap off your 455 kilohertz inside the radio, and it outputs 12 kilohertz, and you use that to feed into your computer sound card, and you use sound card-based software for that. Mark, you on the air, can you fill us in on that?
NI2O. Alright, well that's not working. Echoing software failing. Alright, anyway, NI2O. So, I5XWW, India 5 X-ray Whiskey Whiskey is the guy that you can get a dirt cheap IF convertible from. Don't be scared to make them if you can do that. It's nothing clever. Other people make them too. He seems to be a prolific one. Every radio that I have that's been DRM converted has one of those in it. Excuse me. And the conversion is very, very simple. Very simple to do. Okay, so I can pick up from current store where Charlie left off. Yeah, that probably happened over in Europe this past week. Also has happened, India has decided, or rather, All India Radio has decided that their new transmission of choice is going to be DRM. So what that means, is that there will be mass-produced radios now. We've been able to get so-called mass-produced radios, but, you know, they've been $300-$400, and you have to be in Europe and all the rest of it. Well, now they're going to be made for the Indian market, so you know that they're going to be a lot cheaper, and probably a lot more easy to get hold of. Okay, so that's happened. Followed by, we had a conversation with TDF, you know, the French state broadcaster. Okay, they own a transmitter down on Curacao, one air, one of those, and we're even French again. Anyway, down that neighbourhood, and it's DRM capable, and we can have it. Yeah, that's right. If we can pay for it, we can have it. So, if you want, you know, DRM broadcast here in the States, or that transmitter that they have down there gets up here real well. And, yeah, basically we can have it if we're prepared to pay for transmitter time. So, going back to my idea a couple weeks back about email a Band 2 FM station up here in Sussex County that's off the air for most of the week. Well, this is starting to look like more and more of a project, right? You know? The point is that they're quite happy to send us money as long as they've got something to pay for it. Right now, nobody's putting their money down for it, but you know what? I think it might be fairly easy to sell that airplane. Bear in mind, of course, also that the FCC's official... Let me drop it. Okay, the FCC's officially sanctioned digital-only mode for short broadcasters on HF is DRM. They don't allow any other. So, you know, as and when US stations finally choose to go digital, that's what they'll be doing. So, you know what? Yeah, I mean, finally, as Charlie says, we're getting past the chicken and egg situation. You know, I think that, I think the good things are to come. The question is, just when are they going to be here? And I think the more we push the broadcasters, the quicker they'll come. Back to you, Charlie. NIQ up.
Hey, Mark, why don't you tell them about some of the screenshots you have on your website regarding DRM?
Charlie, say that again.
The screenshots and information on DRM on your website.
Right, okay, NI2O. Point your browser at www.g7lct.com, golf7lima-tango-tango.com/DRM. And basically what I've got there is a collection of I'm just doing it myself here because I forget what's on my own website. It's a collection of stuff that I've worked on. Some of which details some modifications to very common radios that you can do. And also, a bit further down, the very last there is my reception log. Now, remember the bad old days of shortwave listening? You'd sit there and you'd tune the radio and you'd eke out the whatever signal it was, and then you'd, you know, have to listen to the blog just to prove that it was them, and then you'd write a reception report and you'd stick it off in the mail, and eventually you'd get something back, or not, from, you know, the upper Ubangi or wherever it happened to be. Well, you know, that's gone. Forget that. You know, just like the RDS system on your FM radio in the car or in the shack, where it tells you the name of the station, DRM does the same thing, which of course makes DXing just easy. Just, I mean, literally, you tune in, if you've got enough bits to decode it, you know who it is. And so what I've been doing is been kind of assembling a list of stations that I've been able to tune into, and then doing a screen capture of their ident screens. For two reasons. Firstly, as a brag file, just to stick on my website, but secondly, to email to the relevant peeps at the various stations. And they're actually quite keen to receive these because, you know, it proves that people really are listening to them because, you know, they have all these reports and things, but they don't actually know. I've had quite a few nice bundles of stuff come back from various broadcasters. You know, some nice little nice packages of whatever. And more than that, every now and again I get an email from a broadcaster saying, we're trying out this frequency, can you listen for us? So, you know, I give that a whirl too. But on the page, let me drop it. Anyway, too well. On that reception screenshot, you know, say the brag file, along with some descriptions, for example, determined to do a thing called a journal line service. In addition to the regular programs, they send along HTML-style news headlines. Just small little kind of, you know, one or two paragraph nuggets, you know, news headline kind of nuggets. They do it in English and German, and you'll see a screenshot of that, and what else you see a screenshot of. You can see some, using the DRM software, you can see some waveform outputs. One of them, for example, shows how an analog signal can clash a DRM signal. What else have I got in here? Just bridging down the bottom of the page here. Lots of audio files. Some of these are clickable, so it'll download files to demonstrate whatever it is that I'm trying to demonstrate. What else? Oh yeah, something called a a live schedule, the automatic frequency schedule, which is basically a some of the stations also transmit a what frequency we're on and when schedule. And of course, if you've got the DRM software, then you can click on that and we'll tune the radio, assuming that you have the appropriate radio linked in as well. It uses the HamLib library, so basically any ham radio is usable, along with quite a large handful of shortwave ones. Program guide, some stations do that, I've got an example of that. You know, there's quite a bit on there if you do a digging through. NI2R.
Okay, Mark, thanks for the updates, and you know, for somebody who hasn't been following this, there's quite a bit that's been going on, so Mark said just jump on the page and click and listen and read and, you know, learn a few things, and don't be afraid to do the modification. It was dirt easy. Yeah, I put it inside my Kenwood 430 that I had used as a shortwave receiver before I even got my general license. So, it has been my main shortwave receiver for about 20 years now. And just found an empty spot in there, put the circuit board in, tapped off the IF chain, power, 12 volts, and ground. And then fed the audio out and stuck that into the sound card. It is easy. You'll see a lot of plans for various radios on how to tap off signals, especially scanners these days. So the stuff is out there. You can find it. If you're having trouble finding it, a particular model radio, drop us an email at ny@yahoo.com and we'll point you in the right direction and get you too into the digital radio age at this point. You know, it's the 21st century already. Let's start moving forward a little bit. Okay, Bob, what do we have in the email tonight? W2SQQ, N210B.
Charlie, nothing at all as of 2 minutes ago. Not one email there, so it's quiet. I do have one request for anybody on the net, and that is, I know Jersey City's trunking system is sort of up, at least the testing, and there was one person on one of the forums that posted the channel offset and so on. But it was for a maybe Pro 96 or a non-unit end scanner. Let me let this drop one second. I looked at the information that was provided for it, and it just did not seem to jive with what Uniden looks for in the program. So if anybody has the channel breakout for the Jersey City system, or better yet, if they have a Butel file that they put together, perhaps you can email it. I'm trying to listen to the system, but so far not having any luck. N2NLV, WHSQQ.
Connected, N2SCR.
Okay, as far as my experience has been, Bob, there is no difference in the table that you would build for following a UHF Motorola 2 trunk system, regardless what model radio or what model software. You know, it's just a matter of starting off at a base and your offset and how what is the step rate. Now, one thing I did notice, Mark and I were dealing with the Morris County trunk system up in the 470s and 476s, is that one particular piece of software really wasn't displaying the step rate the way you would expect it to. You know, it had the decimal places off and it was a little funky. But once we got it worked out, everything worked fine from that point.
I'm actually calling up the information now. I mean, I looked at the information and there was more information offered, and it just didn't make sense, because I looked at the Montclair system and I looked at the other ones, and in this one the only thing that they are really referencing as a frequency is 450 meg, and that's it, whereas in the other systems they had other frequencies. Hang on just one moment. Let me just call this up, and then I'll read it to you so I know what I'm talking about here.
K2KEG.
So what this basically has, it has channel low, channel high, base frequency, and offset. And, for example, channel low, it's at 8192, channel high, 12287, base frequency is 450. And then it repeats 8192 again as an offset, and then step 12.5. And then you've got a second line. So if you look in that one line of data, there is five items. If you look at Butel, when you're setting up a system, they're only asking three, and it's not a direct match.
Yeah, right. It's only supposed to be three. It's the base frequency, then the offset, and then the step rate.
Sorry, you broke up. It's a base frequency, an offset, and what? Then a step rate, right?
Exactly, step rate. And because it's a UHF system, you know, 12 and a half kilohertz makes sense. So that's okay. The base is typically in relation to what is the lowest frequency in the system. So of all the frequencies that make up this trunk system, what's the lowest frequency, Bob?
Hang on, I'll tell you, but it's definitely not 450. And that was the other thing that kind of threw me off. The lowest frequency in the system is 470625.
Okay. I would say the base is off immediately. You know, unless that 8192 really is something, but typically you would have a base of, in this particular case, probably 470 and offset of 380. I'll do some research and see what I can find, but I don't know, the 450 is suspect if the lowest frequency in the trunk system is 470.
The way somebody else tried to explain it to me was that 450 was basically, if you want to think of it as channel 1, and that 8192 was referencing some type of a channel allocation table that Motorola uses. In other words, you start off at that frequency, and then channel 1 would be 450 plus whatever the offset is, and so on, all the way up. I don't know if that's true or not. I have two systems that programmed in, and I, you know, simply loaded the files in. Montclair was the first one, and somebody had given me that file, and that works, but I actually put a post out a few times and nobody seems to be biting on it, so I don't know. I just figured I'd mention it here tonight if anybody did have a better understanding. Perhaps, you know, they could share it. But that's it. Otherwise, nothing going on.
Okay. Well, even if you do the math, 8,192 times a step rate of 12.5, 450 is way off from what it should be. So it's got to be wrong. 450 has got to be way off. All right, let me see what I can find out, Bob, and I'll pass it over to you, and then we'll give it out to everybody else on email and on the net next week.
Charlie, that's about it. Been a busy week here, so I have not been watching emails too much and so on. Anyway, back over to you, and to NOVWH Rescue Q.
I know what you mean, Bob. And for me, this is the busy time of the year, meetings for public service events and stuff. Anyway, let's see, it's 9:30 p.m. Well, we'll stand by for additional check-ins or additional comments. Again, this is the NYDXA, Shortwave and Scanner Listeners Net. If you're not able to get on the air, please use our email, which is nydxa@yahoo.com. All right, again, space it out before we had some people stepping on each other. Go ahead, this is M2NLP.
M1NL, they would have comment.
K2UPS, Mobile in Queens, just listening.
Okay, M1NLZ. The other station in Queens, that was K2UPS. Like the trucking company?
Detroit to UPS. The name is Rich.
Okay, Rich. Welcome to the net. All right, anybody else?
Sorry, Key Hotel, Alpha Sierra.
Okay, this is 2HAS. I take it you're at work tonight. Any traffic?
Charlie
2,
Hotel Alpha
Sierra,
we're holding no traffic.
Yeah, okay. Anybody else?
K2, CSX Portables, no traffic, Charlie. Good evening.
W2LIE, no traffic.
Okay, evening Mark, and evening Phil. Anyone else? Okay. Again, if you're not able to get in, use your email address, nydxa@yahoo.com. Also use that email address if you'd like to be put on our mailing list for any hot break stories that come out. And if you think you're on that list and you haven't gotten anything in a few weeks, well, maybe your account bounced for some reason. So drop us an email and tell us to check it out, and we'll undo the bounce mark in the database. All right, Bob up in Connecticut, N1MLZ, N2NLB. How's it going tonight, Bob?
Hey, good evening, Charlie. Doing great here. Thank you very much. Hopefully everything's fine over there and everybody else on the net here. Good evening. Yeah, just a comment here, Charlie. The UHF, the new FDNY conventional frequencies on UHF, there's a 482, you know, 483, 20 frequencies, I believe. They're getting real busy testing and stuff. I've been hearing a lot this week. And one of them has an open carrier on it. The one with the 85.4, I think it is, or something like that. I don't have it in front of me here, but that one's always transmitting. And the one with the 91.5 PL, they're doing a lot of testing on that one. I think it's 28 or 23875 or whatever, you know, 482 point. But a lot of testing going on, Charlie. I wonder if they're going to start doing something there. But I don't know. Signal strength to me over here about half of what I hear SOD. Just to give you guys an idea what I get them out of over here, about half the strength of SOD on any given day. You know, some days they're full scale here, and other days are, you know, not quite. Depends on the conditions. But compared to the trunk system, the new trunk system. I don't get that very good at all here. You know, I have to move the radio around to get the control channel. It's not as good as a signal as the conventional channels are here. So, you know, hopefully, you know, when the conditions get better, I'll hear them better. But we'll see what happens when the time comes with that one to go on the air. But hopefully I'll get a little better than I do right now. But the conventional channels are pretty strong up here. But a lot of testing going on, Charlie. Over to you.
Oh, yeah, Bob. The past few days, during lunchtime, I'd sit there with the scanner stuck in my ear, and hearing the test, you know, team so-and-so, agreed whatever, and they would give five count in analog or APCO 25, and sometimes the team that's out in the field calls in on APCO 25, and the base responds back in the clear. So you hear this going back and forth as well. One thing I did notice, there were several times that 482.1625 was referenced as the citywide frequency, and 483.2125 was referenced as the Bronx North frequency. And I'm wondering if these are going to be the new EMS UHF frequencies. So if there's some watching. As far as the trunk system on UHF, I'm noticing that as well, Bob, and to the point that I think it's a multi-zone type of system, so they're going to be lower power just to handle their portion of the city. But again, that's going to have to bear some watching. But I think they're trying to get the conventional stuff out first, and then they'll get the trunk system going. I know there's been a couple of reports of a couple of talk groups popping up on the trunk system, but it's... I think it was only two of them, and that was so long ago. So that's going to be taking longer to test, I would think. You know, what I think they're trying to do is just get a practical knowledge of how far each frequency, which is on a different transmitter site in the city, how far it reaches. You know, it's one thing to run software to predict where it's going, but we have buildings there. So you can't use typical topographic software and say, all right, this signal is going to go so far. We've got a lot of buildings which create all sorts of weird shadows and bounce effects, especially on UHF. So this is the best way of testing it. You get people out there and you see how cleanly they sound. And there was one unit, I think it was yesterday or the day before, had so much wind on his microphone about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they were having trouble hearing him. You know, your signal's coming in great, but the wind across your microphone's killing you.
Very good. Interesting, yeah. Yeah, we have a good point about the different signal traps. I meant to ask you a question about that. Not particularly this system, but the Dewitt system, Charlie. If I'm locked in on a talk group, let's say, whoever it is that's talking, and I'll put it on manual and just listen to them. Every time they unkeys and keys up, you know, with a new frequency, I do get different signal strengths with a lot of the different frequencies. They're not transmitting from one site, even though it's the same system. So I don't know why they do that, but there is times where I get one frequency a lot weaker. I have to move the radio a little. I'm just using the antenna on the radio here. And you can notice a big difference with each frequency as they go through the voice channels. You know, as they unkey and key up and a new frequency comes up with the same talk group, of course, it's a long conversation. You know, you notice a big difference in the signal strength of a lot of the frequencies. Why they do that, I'm not sure. Any ideas with that, Charlie?
Okay, you're talking about the 800 trunk system. Well, there's a couple things going on here. One, as far as a few years ago, they were still just transmitting from one location. Now, if they've changed that around and they have different transmit sites as well, that may be something new. But also, don't forget that they did merge into their operation the six frequencies that were the EMS fire department 800 trunk system, and they were at a different location. So what you might be hearing is the bounce from Empire State Building to where the other system was. You know, if you could just jot down which frequencies sound weaker than others, then that'll probably give you a clue. But even when it was just the original 15 frequencies that Dewitt had on the Empire State Building, I noticed that every so often some of the transmissions are coming weaker than others. And somebody pointed out to me that you had two possibilities at that point, and this was about 10 years ago, that one, not all transmitters are exactly the same, and two, some of the antennas that they were using on the Empire State Building were on a different side of the building than I was on. So that may account for some of the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, even going way back from the beginning, I noticed this, you know, and of course I've noticed it a lot more out here because I'm, you know, a lot further away. So where you're closer there, it's so strong, you probably won't notice as much, but I definitely noticed it right from the beginning. And this doesn't just go for this system. This goes for a lot of the systems, even the Connecticut State Police and stuff. I'm not really sure why they do it, but you would think that one system would be the same transmitter for each, you know, it just changed the frequencies around. You know, when the voice channel comes up, it's still coming out of the same transmitter, but it's just a different frequency, but it doesn't do it that way. And it's kind of strange. Yeah, even Suffolk County, I hear it. And I'm you know, right across the water here, but you notice that I see a difference, and you can hear a difference. With each channel, each voice channel comes up, it definitely is a different, you know, you can actually move the radio around to get it better or worse for each frequency, so it's kind of strange to do it that way, but I don't know. I can't figure it out. I just figured I'd point that out. You mentioned that about the signal strength.
Well, even on a bare minimum system, there is going to be a separate transmitter for each of the frequencies. So they're not retuning the frequency on a particular radio. Each radio is fixed to a particular frequency. And the computer controller switches which talk groups are using which radio, which means which different frequency. So they can sound different. You know, each transmitter may have a slightly different output, slightly different impedance, how it's fed into the the MUX system, which feeds it out to the antenna. Are they on different antennas as well? So it depends on how they have it all set up.
Oh, okay, Charlie, when I'm out there, I understand. I always thought it was the same transmitter, it just changed the frequencies on the transmitter. Okay, now I understand. I didn't realize that each frequency had its own transmitter. Interesting. Okay, well, that explains the phenomenon here. Very good. I always thought it was the other way. I thought it was just on one frequency, one transmitter transmitting different frequencies out every time it changed, but I guess it makes sense, different transmitters. Okay, very good.
And they cycle between the different transmitters, even in quiet times. I mean, listen to the Port Authority system or the New York State Police, whatever it comes up, Metro 21. Every time they unkey and key up again, they'll be on a different frequency. And so they spread the usage out, the wear and tear on the different radios. They spread it out between all of them and just cycle one to the next.
Yeah, especially I guess with the LTR, that's automatic. It always switches to the next one every time, no matter what. But very good. Yeah, that frequency that's continuously transmitting on the 482. I hope it's the hope it's a good duty cycle or something. It's been going on for about a week now. At least since I've been listening, the 482, the one with the 82 or 85.4 PL, but that one's going continuously.
Well, our ability to hear is going to be different in different parts of the tri-state area. I mean, like you point out, some of them are a little bit weaker sounding than others, but also which buildings are blocking us. And now that the trees are bringing, you know, full bloom and the pollen and the leaves and everything else, UHF and 800 starts to get even weaker to hear, plus distance. So, as I say, your mileage may vary, but any and all observations are certainly welcome. You know, even what we have on my website or the radio reference website is only based on reports from people. So as we get more and more reports and we can start, you know, figuring it all out, then we get a clearer picture. So keep those reports coming in, send the emails in, bring them on the net on Wednesday nights, and we'll share the wealth, so to speak, without having to share the money. Change, you can believe it. I'd rather have dollars. Anyway, let's see, before we wrap it up, SQQ, anything in the email at all tonight?
You checked it again, Charlie, and it's clean.
Okay. All right, anybody else before we wrap it up?
Copy, right to IWC with just one quick question. I just been listening here. Good evening, Bob, Charlie, Phil, everybody on the net. The other Bob. You were just talking about the UHF fire and FDNY system in Manhattan, which I've been eagerly awaiting. And but in the same breath, Bob in Connecticut mentioned, and you did, APCO 25. And I don't understand where that plays in, and I don't understand what the new trunking system is that you're talking about. Is that do it UHF, or is that some other deal with the fire department? Because my understanding was the fire department was not going to use APCO 25, certainly. Now, maybe EMS would, but I don't think the fire would because they found it unsuitable.
Now, I agree with what you're saying, Don. Basically, what we're looking at is the conventional frequencies are for fire department EMS. The trunk frequencies are the do-it UHF system. And we're not sure how they're going to use it, you know, which frequencies or particularly users will be APCO 25 versus in the clear, and whether the APCO 25 is just standard digital or encrypted. But we're hearing them pop up on several frequencies using P25 in their tests in addition to analog. So maybe only certain channels have the capability. I don't know.
that's interesting. I guess there's always a surprise right around the corner. Excuse me. What can I say? Well, good. I don't want to keep you guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I haven't fired up my scanner in a long time. So I think it's time to brush the dust off it and start listening again.
You know, I would actually challenge everybody to blow the dust off of any radio you haven't turned on in a while. So if you're always listening to a scanner, hey, blow the dust off the shortwave bridge and turn that on. Or listen to AM broadcast that before it gets noisy with the summer and lightning strikes. You know, do something different than what you normally do. You'll see that things have changed. And you just got to look around for it. Anyway, stay safe and sound, everybody, and we'll catch you here next week. And, you know, Easter and Passover are coming up, and then we got all the different public service events that start popping up all over the city. So you should start hearing some interesting activity, or if you would like to be part of some of those activities, drop me a line, and I'll let you know which ones I can get you into. So catch you next week, and so I'll be clear.